Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to Progressive News Network Special Reports. Tonight, we're going to be interviewing Mr. Rick Newhoff, who attended the Orlando Platform Committee hearing of the Democratic Party. The National Party came here to hash out the final touches on the Democratic Party's platform hearing. So this platform will be taken to Philadelphia and debated and discussed, but here it was, and Mr. Rick Newhoff and progressives and other Democrats came together to hash out those final things, and Rick gives us his report, his take on the events that happened. So I hope you'll give him your ear and learn something very important about the democratic process. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rick Newhoff.
Hi, Rick.
Is this Mr. Newhoff?
It is. How are you today?
Well, let me... Boy, am I surprised. I was expecting to call, well, you know, Bernie.
That would be great.
You sound a little... kind of like you're in a tunnel. Are you doing something strange with the microphone?
No, but it could be because we're on Skype. Would you prefer that I call in?
No, it's fine, it's fine. I can apply a little EQ down the road, not a problem. Okay, so like I said, you know, buddy, it's your chat time. I'd like to introduce, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rick Newhoff, who was at the Orlando Platform Committee. He is a Bernie delegate, a passionate Bernie delegate, still committed even after the endorsement to the Bernie agenda, as he's been for a long time. And he's asked me to give him a few minutes to tell you some important truth. Rick?
I want to thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, I wound up being an active participant in the platform writing committee. I only expected to be a guest or an observer. So I'm kind of going to jump all the way to the end of the evening first, and tell you what happened. It was around 1 a.m. and honestly, the event seemed to all of us like it was wrapping up. The governor of Connecticut, Daniel Malloy, was thanking everybody who helped make the event possible, things like that. And honestly, he did a great job keeping the process moving along at a good pace. He was very fair about everything. So meanwhile, we were all tired. It's 1 a.m. People were taking goofy pictures like they were falling asleep on each other's shoulders. And I was tired, but I was staying focused on every word throughout the event. So then out of the blue, they called the final amendment, which was a surprise. Then the language of the amendment looked to insert Hillary Clinton's name throughout this document that we had been working on for 2 days. At the surface, there's really nothing wrong with that, except that, honestly, the Democratic Party did not have its definitive presidential candidate as yet, not until the convention in Philadelphia. So I listened a little closer to make sure what I was hearing was correct. And I rose to interrupt and loudly address the governor of Connecticut, calling point of order. You're out of order by Robert's Rules of Order. Now, the other people that were in our group were kind of shocked by my outburst and actually tried to get me to calm down. But then Mike Fox, you know, the Florida organizer for Progressive Democrats of America, he's a great guy. he latched on to what was happening and started our people chanting, withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. And look, ultimately what happened was they did withdraw the amendment. Splash and microphone drop.
Well, I think that's very important because, listen, there's always time to laud our candidates, but it seems a little artificial, as you describe it. Thank goodness you had your wits about you and had Robert's Rules of Order at your beck and call. And, of course, our compatriot, Mr. Fox, who is a blessing to all progressives, backed you up, and that's always good to hear. Please continue.
It's all about the teamwork, and it's not about me. It's not about any one of us. Just like what Bernie's been saying, it's about all of us. So, so going back to the platform, to the larger event. First, really important thing to understand is that the platform is built of goals. There's nothing binding any candidate to make any of these goals to come fruition. And having said that, this is the most progressive platform since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. My point here is that even the language that we may not have been able to get in, the progressive language, to make it stronger, this platform is still 1,000 times better than anything that GOP train wreck is going to try to stick us with. So it's also important to understand that what the balance is within the platform writing committee, so that you understand how some of the votes came. There were a little bit over 100 Clinton supporters and about 70 Bernie supporters. So the only way that any real progressive amendment language was passed was along with votes from Hillary supporters. It saddens me to say, but the fact is that the Democratic Party is divided, but we often find ways to work together. So you see why I think that you all need to get involved within the party. We need to have numbers so we can influence policy and legislation. I apologize for that phone that's going to ring in the background.
Okay.
I don't know. I also want to say that Hillary is now campaigning to the left of the platform. She's actually calling for an expansion to Social Security, and she's also campaigning to end the TPP, language that did pass on the TPP was that TPP should not come up during Obama's lame duck session. So with that in mind, this is how the platform writing committee meetings went. Senator Nina Turner's language started off where we won language for $15 an hour minimum wage and the right to join a union. Language to calling to fight for every cut or to diminish Social Security was adopted. Language to place mortgage loan information into the public domain and take that control away from banks failed. And you heard a couple of people in the audience who had lost their house complaining about that one. Language to expand Social Security failed, but then a streamlined version focusing on women was adopted. It was really interesting. When a version of Alan Grayson's Seniors Deserve a Raise failed, we were all chanting, shame, shame, shame. It was like right out of Game of Thrones. What I'm talking about is language that is about a cost of living adjustment for seniors that would be based on the financial needs of seniors instead of being linked to the financial needs of working families. And, it was kind of sad, but at that moment, the committee members wearing Patrick Murphy stickers were giddy while we were chanting, shame, shame, shame. And, of course, we were watching the language fail. But I'm really happy to say that language to close loopholes, tax loopholes that benefit millionaires and billionaires did pass and will appear in the platform. Language calling for the Federal Reserve to be fully public institution was adopted after a roll call vote. Language promoting Build America bonds to raise funds to create jobs while revitalizing state and local infrastructure was adopted. Language acknowledging the climate emergency that global warming is real. This language passed and will appear in the platform. That's a very big thing. Language encouraging state-specific financial institutions failed. Language supporting the auto industry will appear in the platform. Language defending the Export-Import Bank, you know, the Bank of Boeing, that did pass. Honestly, that language is nothing but corporate welfare, in my opinion. Language focusing on creating good jobs across America, entrepreneurship and innovation passed and will be in the platform. Computer science education in high school was singled out, and that passed. Strong language calling for high-speed broadband, 5G, and transformative technologies enabling the Internet of Things will be in the platform. What that is, that's when machines talk to machines. I'm not making any references to Terminator or any of those movies. I mean, this is real world technology, smart homes, smart cars, smart power grid. All of it sounds great, except in a world like Westworld. You ever see that movie? That's where nothing can go wrong. But, you know, other language that passed was language to strengthen NASA, language supporting small business and entrepreneurship by cutting through red tape passed. Honestly, that one sounded like it came right out of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And that's where we stopped for the first night. Well, actually, it was 1:40 in the morning. The next day, we started with something a little highly contentious. We started with Jim Hightower's language against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Ultimately, it failed. Other TPP language calling to not support the TPP during President Obama's lame duck session,
Rick,
also failed.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. I want you to speculate for me. Given that ostensibly, if we're to believe the rhetoric, the former Secretary of State is now on record for opposing the TPP that she was thoroughly involved in negotiating, which she once called the gold standard of treaties. Why do you think there was such an effort to push back on all these anti-TPP measures if she's officially against it now? Could you speculate on that?
Because Bernie Sanders has persuaded us, and we, in our numbers, are persuading Hillary to move left. It's all about us working in solidarity to accomplish these big things. You know, the whole TPP thing is a perfect example of what we're talking about. I mean, the union members were union leaders, giants, all spoke in favor of this. AFSCME, the Machinists Union, Teamsters, American Federation of Teachers, all saying things like we want fair trade, not free trade. And, you know, Ben Jealous tried adding the phrase, that's why we oppose the TPP. That was shot down. And, you know, Cornel West really brought to attention the point that you were making, Rick. He was speaking in solidarity with Bernie Sanders and in opposition to the TPP. You know, like the day before when we were chanting shame, 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 it started up again when the TPP failed. And Ben Jealous was calling for party unity. It was really quite difficult. Jim Hightower said that we should speak the truth and ride a fast horse. He went on to say even dummy Trump would kill the TPP, that the TPP is forever. Future presidents, future congressmen cannot undo the TPP. Then,
So you think it's your considered opinion that despite their thwarting the anti-TPP measures in the platform, that what we hear from the Secretary of State right now is the result of her being convinced by Senator Sanders. Is that your understanding?
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it in my mind. And listen, we're parsing hairs here, but what Hillary is campaigning on is that the TPP should not come up during Obama's lame duck, because Obama will pass it. And
oh, right, he's a proponent of it for sure. So okay, I was just curious because A plus B doesn't equal oranges. So
you're correct.
I'm having a little trouble understanding the former Secretary of State's reasoning, but won't be the first time. I'm sorry for interrupting. Please continue.
Oh, you're not interrupting at all. I'm sorry that the phone is ringing off the hook here. So the thing that we need to be aware of also, right at this crucial point when the Hightower Amendment failed, a couple dozen walked out of the meeting in protest, along with several of these union leaders. You can check hashtag Hightower and see the Twitter explosion that happened for yourself. The day continued, and things kept moving at such a pace that that you couldn't have remorse over anything for too long, or you'd miss the next important vote, or maybe they'd go out of order and call something that we wouldn't have liked. And so you really have to stick in there, and you have to deal with all these things and all these games that get played along the way. But language calling to support stronger criminal laws and stronger criminal penalties to be applied to Wall Street criminals failed. Calling Dodd-Frank historic will appear in the platform, because there's other things that they want to do to expand that. Language calling to stop Republican efforts to hamstring regulators through budget cuts did pass. But, language for the Robin Hood tax failed, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
That's Bernie Sanders' idea based on legislation that was originally Keith Ellison's from the Congressional Progressive Caucus, so that there would be a surtax on trades done by hedge funds, investment banks, and speculators. Stock trades would be taxed at 0.5%. It's next to nothing. Bond trades would be taxed at 0.1%, even less than nothing. And derivatives would be taxed at 0.5%. Infinitesimal. But this small change evidently adds up very, very quickly. And, when this failed, when language on Citizens United failed, people were shouting corporate whores, and it honestly was kind of an ugly moment. We really do need to increase our numbers. Stronger support calling for an end to all war news censorship failed. But then there was a make-you-feel-good one. Both Hillary and Bernie agreed on language supporting antitrust laws and against consolidation of economic and political power, reinvigorating the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission so that there would be enforcement of antitrust laws. As a matter of fact, the Clinton supporters gave Bernie supporters a standing ovation at that point. That was a definitely make-you-feel-good moment. Language calling for no one to be able to avoid paying their fair share of taxes by hiding money in overseas banks was passed. Language ensuring election officials comply with all protections of the Voting Rights Act passed unanimously. Nancy Jacobson, she's the parliamentarian of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. she proposed an amendment against partisan and racial gerrymandering.
Let me stop you there again. What could possibly be the objection against gerrymandering? Is it because they hope to make the same kind of anti-democratic designs on the electorate that the Republicans are doing in Florida? You know, this kind of stuff just gives me absolute pause.
Oh.
What side are they on anyway? Is it, you know, if we can steal it, we will? Is that what you think? I mean, what do you think their reasoning was?
Room for interpretation of exactly what you see. I see the same thing. There's
discussion, or was it just, this is what we want, that's what you want, let's vote?
Oh, no, each of these things had discussion for and against. You got to understand, we were doing this for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, right.
235 amendments. I just have no idea how to condense it all.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to get your sense of, you know, what thinking was involved here. I mean, you know, we've got a situation where, for example, on the cost of living adjustment for seniors, you know, Congress has raised its pay 14 times in the last 10 years, and they've given one raise to seniors. Hey, I don't know if it works for Congress. It should be there for seniors too.
When that happened, we were shouting out, "Don't you have parents? Don't you have grandparents? Aren't you planning on getting old one day?" I mean, that's such an easy thing to give us in the platform, which is only goals and isn't going to force anybody to enact it anyway. You at least have to give them credit for standing up for what they believe. It just certainly is not what we as progressives believe.
Did anyone offer to dine on the poor?
No, but they actually even passed language that would not allow family farms and agriculture to get out of some debts that are killing family farming across America.
What? And harm a banker? Are you kidding?
Well,
let me ask you.
Everything else that was agriculture, they passed.
Yeah, well. Yeah, there's growing. Let me ask you this. As you look back over that whole experience, now I realize that there is a significant merit in participating. Obviously, heck, even Woody...
Harrelson?
No, I'm thinking of the comedian director, Woody Allen. Woody Allen said 90% is being there. And I get that.
It's true.
If you know, as you say right at the beginning, that this is cast in marshmallow or jello rather than a real diehard commitment of the party to these goals, you know, does it ultimately become a tempest in a teapot? And the other reason I say that, or let's say the additional reason I say that, is because I had the good fortune of attending the Denver convention, and I heard Democrat after Democrat after Democrat, including the current Secretary or former Secretary of State, proclaim that health care for all was number one, and that they would all be fighting for it. And this was, you know, above and beyond the platform. And, of course, we understand later that's written, you know, sort of in pixie dust. So ultimately, your takeaway is it was still worth the fight. Do I understand you correctly?
If we don't fight, we're going to wind up with much worse than what we would ever want.
Sober.
We have to fight for, obviously, from what you hear me saying, things that failed, things that passed, we have to fight for each little issue. When they tell candidates, when they teach candidates, you need to run on three things. I get it. You're trying to fill 27-word sound bites. You're trying to keep things within the attention span of the larger public. But ultimately, there are hundreds and hundreds of issues that are going on. There's 235 votes that we took in the course of the platform writing committee meeting. You know, so each of us has interests that our own personal area of study or expertise or care. And this is why we're stronger as a team. And this is why we all need to get our voices heard. And while we are stuck in this two-party system, look, I don't want to vote for anybody because they are the lesser of two evils. But what I'm going to say to you is what scares me about the possibility of a GOP presidency at this point in our history, the racial slide that we will take. Remember how some German leaders, authoritarian, came to power in thunderous applause? You know, that's what it would be if the GOP won. Just now it's not talking about Jews, it's talking about Muslims, and it's talking about Hispanics, and it's taking away your rights as a human being. It's just, you know, I keep hearing year after year, there's never been a more important presidential campaign, but I'm telling you that this cycle is more important than any that we have had in our lifetime. And I get it that there's a lot of people that are looking at other alternatives, but I'm going to say to you that if you vote for anybody except whoever the Democratic Party nominee is, it's a vote for Trump. And I'm scared of that.
I really thank you for taking your time to share this really important experience. And as you said, this is the way the democratic process works. And if progressives don't come there, and even if it's to be shot down in so many important areas, at least we're showing the flag. We're reminding them that we exist. And sure, they can plow us under the bankers' great stacks of coin, but we're there, and we're not walking away. And I gotta thank you, man. You could sit through that. And there are times when I've gone to those and sat through it and fought the good fight. I've done it once or twice myself, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Detailed report of the platform committee.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts, sir?
When you do get involved, and I am calling for you to get involved, but when you get involved, you have to pay attention to every little thing, because as soon as you don't, that's when they slip something in. So thank you all for your continued interest in what's happening in America's future, and thank you for your terrific show, Rick.
Thanks so much. Rick Newhoff, Sanders delegate, basically on his way to Philly. You and your lovely wife, I wish you every success, and thank you for all good progressives carrying the flag for us. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for joining us. This is your host, Rick Spezak, news director of Progressive News Network. Thanks for tuning into this show about the Orlando Platform Committee hearing. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.